Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hour number three of our radio program. That's right. That's right. It is a Friday. I'm sure everyone's getting pumped for their big Friday. Another week of football upcoming. Had a little Browns and Bengals last night.
Here we go, Brownies. Here we go. Hoo, hoo.
Browns get the victory. And my biggest takeaway, keep on giving the ball to Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. Joe Burrow also looked pretty damn good for the Cincinnati Bengals. So Browns, they survive. They bounce back after the ugly loss and the massacre that was the Baltimore Ravens. And then you got Washington next week. You should get to 2-1, and then we go from there and reevaluate Cleveland after that. You saw what the formula was last night. Let's not freak out. Let's not get too crazy, because you were going up against a team that is not all that good for this year, even though they have a potentially great player in Joe Burrow. He still has to show you things, but I've been impressed with what I've seen so far. He threw the football 60-something times last night, and don't throw a pick in your second career start. That shows me that you definitely got something. And I know people say, well, what about last year? Yeah, he showed us a lot. A little bit of difference, though, when you go from college to the pros. Burrow, though, I fully do believe in him. It comes down to if the organization can take advantage of what they have and the potential special player that they have in Joe Burrow. As always, we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. We'll get to onsides, offsides in just a second. Gus Verratt is going to join us coming up at the top of the hour. We'll do NFL picks. Connor, my mind is still blown from Kendrick Perkins. We'll play you some more of that audio later on in the show. But here I go. I ask him an innocuous question. And this is why I love Perk, because he always gives you some great sizzling hot take. So I think he's very entertaining. And I respect Perk greatly. And, you know, he's a friend. He's a good dude. So he gives me this. I ask him this question about Giannis. And you were listening. I go, Giannis Antetokounmpo, like MVP. Do you have a problem with it? Because I know he was going to say LeBron. I knew that's what he was going to say. If you just follow him on Twitter, you know he thinks that LeBron should have won the MVP over Giannis. Personally, for the regular season, I think for most of the regular season, it was Giannis Antetokounmpo. I think he should have won the regular season MVP award. Now, LeBron's going to win a more important trophy, and two of them, that's the Larry O'Brien trophy, and he'll most likely win another finals MVP. So, Perk gives you an answer. I don't know what the MVP award is anymore, and he thinks that the Lakers would just be a team that would be the bottom of the Western Conference. They'd still be a playoff team, but bottom in the rankings of the Western Conference from 1-8 if you took LeBron off the team, because they still have Anthony Davis. And I said, well, what happens if you take Giannis off the Bucks? If you take Giannis off the Bucks, that's going to be a bad basketball team, even though they have some depth. And he said, they'd still be a top five team in the Eastern Conference. And I gave you the wow. And then I start going through the teams from this year, because, you know, I could have brought up the Nets for next year, but I didn't do so. But when you start going through the teams for this year, you go, okay, Toronto, okay, the Heat, the Celtics. And then there's a conversation to be had. I would put Indiana in front. I'd put the Sixers in front. If you were talking about the Bucks without Giannis. And basically, Perk drew the line in the sand and said they would still be top five. And he thinks their offense, the Bucks' offense, runs better without Giannis Antetokounmpo. So, Connor, how do you process that? Because my brain is, I'm trying to move forward with the show, but I'm still caught up in that.
Well, I mean, I think it's possible they might still be top five in the East because the East is not particularly strong.
No.
So you can make that argument, but I think
I do think it's a reach, though.
Yeah.
Because, like, once again, Toronto, even if they lose Fred VanVleet with Siakam and let's go with Lowry, I would still say they're a top five team, especially with Nick Nurse, the coach that they have. Celtics, better. Miami, better. I don't love Philadelphia with just Embiid and Simmons. If you take Giannis off that Bucks team, I think the Sixers would be better. I would even say the Pacers. The Pacers barely had Victor Oladipo this year and still won 45 games. So there's five teams, and I didn't even say the Nets yet. So there's six. So after that, if you want to say seventh or eighth, all right, you could tell me that with just Middleton. Because then you look at it, Magic, Wizards, no. Hornets, they got a young roster, but not ready. Bulls, no. Knicks, no. Pistons, no. And maybe the Hawks will be better next year because they do have Trae Young. And they got Collins, too. So if you want to tell me they still be a playoff team, I'm not telling you that's the craziest thing I've ever heard because of the conference. Top five? I guess it's a conversation, but I don't think there's a great argument to say this is why it would definitely be the case.
Yeah, and I understand. I think LeBron James should have been the MVP.
You do? Why?
Because I think he is the most valuable player in the NBA. Mm-hmm. And there's been other years where everybody really knows LeBron James is the most valuable player in the NBA. But I think what happens is nobody wants every year LeBron James to win. You want to mix it up a little bit, so you throw other names in there. But I don't think you can make the argument that LeBron James is not the most valuable player in the NBA.
So I think there's two things there. I think there's a difference, and you hit on it a little bit, between most valuable and best player. I think there is a difference. If you ask me who the best player in the league is, without question, to me, it's LeBron James. Most valuable, though, if you take, let's say, both LeBron and Giannis off the roster, you then look at who's the next best player. Anthony Davis and Chris Middleton. You would rather have Anthony Davis, correct?
Yeah.
So that I look at it there, and that's how you make the argument for most valuable for Giannis. Because, yes, really, the Bucks would just be a playoff team because the East stinks. Now, the Lakers, I know Perk said they'd be a playoff team even without LeBron. I don't think that would be a guarantee. If he wants to help his argument there, I don't think that'd be a guarantee because the seventh best team in the West this year was the Mavericks. The eighth was Portland. Would another team get into the fold? Could you say that the Lakers could compete with, like, the Pelicans, the Spurs, the Suns of the world? Yes, they could. So you're basically talking about a seventh or an eighth seed for both teams. So the way I just look at it, and this is why I would go Giannis over LeBron MVP for the regular season only. If you factored in the postseason, Giannis shouldn't even be a finalist, as crazy as that sounds, because of what happened in the bubble. Giannis did win the Defensive Player of the Year award. If we have a conversation that is so close, even though some thought it should have gone to Anthony Davis, if we have a conversation, and you will agree that you think it's a close conversation this year, it's at least a conversation between Giannis and LeBron, right?
Yeah.
So if that's the case, the two reasons why I would give it to Giannis is because he got the Defensive Player of the Year award, so I think that would help in a tiebreaker in the argument. And the other thing that I would bring to the table in this equation is throughout the year, if we go back, and I know it seems as if it was 4 years ago with all that we've been through, I would say nationally for the majority of the year, like 85% of what the regular season was before COVID did shut down, it was Giannis MVP, Giannis MVP, Giannis MVP. I don't think that narrative really started to change until we did see the most recent memory, and that's also a problem with these awards. It's most recent memory for sometimes with how people vote in terms of the national reaction, not people that vote on the award, because you know how it is. Like, for example, NFL, player wins one game. Oh, he's great. Player loses one game. Oh, he's terrible. And we have this instant reaction where everyone has an opinion on Twitter. So the instant reaction and the last action, because you do separate the regular season to the restart and the eight games in the bubble, was the
Los Angeles Lakers taking back-to-back games on that Friday-Sunday stretch where Giannis got hurt. LeBron defeated the Bucks, and then LeBron backed it up with the victory, where Avery Bradley played very well in this game. But LeBron backed it up with the victory against the Clippers. And that's when I really started to feel this big push go for LeBron. Now, I do agree with you in terms of there are some years where LeBron should win the MVP and he doesn't. And I think that goes when you are that great and it's that standard, everything has to go right for you. Like, there was a year where LeBron was the two seed, I think it was. It was the year where Toronto, I think if my memory serves right, Toronto was the one where people were like, how did LeBron not win the MVP that year? Because for LeBron to win the MVP, he has to have the best record in the conference. This year, he had the best record in the conference. He didn't have the best or second best record in the league, and I think that does factor into it. That plus that Giannis did win Defensive Player of the Year, and I think was the more valuable player in terms of where the award was going to be handed out for most of the season. So that's why I think Giannis won the award. In reality, though, you think Giannis Antetokounmpo? Yeah, I'm sure he's, you know, we'll do onsides, offsides later. Let's do the Giannis conversation here. Do you think Giannis Antetokounmpo today is really celebrating this? Personally, I wouldn't, because you already won this award. Yes, you join elite company where you join Hakeem Olajuwon, you join Michael Jordan as the only players to win the MVP and Defensive Player of the Year's year award in the same season. So there is something to celebrate, but if I'm Giannis, and if I'm the competitor that I hope Giannis Antetokounmpo is, I'm sitting back and saying, I already won this award. What I want is a championship. What I want is a finals MVP. And the guy that beat me out for this award, LeBron James, is going to get that championship this year and is going to get the finals MVP. So here was the first answer from Giannis where I feel as if that's what he's saying, but then he did something on social media. This is Giannis Antetokounmpo today on TNT talking about the award.
Not yet. Not yet. I got to set a goal, which I don't know the goal, what the goal is right now. Actually, I know what the goal is. Don't call me MVP. Don't call me 2 times MVP until I'm a champion.
So he said that, correct? Right? That is Giannis Antetokounmpo, Connor Green. Just double checking, triple checking, quadruple checking. He said, don't call me. I think it was a 2-time MVP until I'm an NBA champion, correct? You heard that, right? I'm not crazy.
Yep.
Well, can you go to, I'm pretty sure I saw this on Giannis's Instagram. It was him on a private jet. Who knows where he's going? To be fair, I would like to probably go wherever he is going because it's probably some nice private island or some sort of resort. And on his Instagram, you could go back. This is 5 hours ago. So he said that to Ernie Johnson early in the day. And then you go back and you see 5 hours ago, he's holding the New York Times and it says Antetokounmpo named back-to-back NBA MVP. That seems like someone who's embracing that he won this award, right? Not the guy who was on TNT saying, oh, you know, don't call me a 2-time MVP until I'm an NBA champion. Like, hello? You couldn't even keep that line for 24 hours before you had to rush to your social media or have your social media team pump out you sitting there on a plane reading the newspaper. And this just wasn't someone just taking the photo. I guarantee you he was on the plane and he goes, hey, take this photo and put this on my Instagram. He couldn't even stay with the script for 24 hours. That is so hypocritical of Giannis Antetokounmpo. You cannot be on national television saying, I'm not embracing the award. Don't call me a 2-time finals, 2-time NBA MVP. Only call me that when I win a championship. And then a few moments later, go to Instagram and put a photo with you reading a paper basically saying, look what I did this year. When in reality, you didn't do your job this year. Yes, you were great. I think you deserve to win the MVP. You were Defensive Player of the Year as well. Your story is unbelievable. I'm a fan of Giannis Antetokounmpo, but here's how I remember this season. You take all those accolades and you throw them in a dumpster. Because all throughout the year, at a bare minimum, I'm not even saying you had to win the championship. At a bare minimum, you had to get to the finals in an East that I know we're all raving about the Heat right now, but no one thought the Heat would be here. No one thought Toronto was going to be as good as they were going to be.
and the Celtics were pretty much where we thought they were going to be. Who was supposed to be your biggest competition this year in the East? It was the Sixers, and they stunk. So even though we're hyping up some of those teams, you couldn't even get to the finals. And not only the finals, you didn't even get to the Eastern Conference Finals. So the individual success is one thing. I know it's a story that is worthy of celebration. It's tough, though, for me to see that Instagram post today when he's saying he's basically not going to celebrate it, and then he does celebrate it. This is how you remember Giannis this year. Tremendous season. His team, led by him, came up short when it mattered the most. Onsides, offsides, next. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Time to get to a little Onsides, Offsides. Connor Green, what are the five magical questions that you got for me today, pal?
All right, Zach. Number one, last night, Joe Burrow.
Let me ask you a quick question.
Yeah.
I just palled you there, which is something I usually don't do. So maybe I'm starting to sound like an old man, like the caller from last night. When someone pals you or bros you, do you not like that?
I'm okay with pal.
How about buddy?
Buddy, if the person doesn't know me, it can come across as like a little bit rude. Yeah. Almost like you're talking down to somebody, like, oh, hey, buddy.
And bro?
Bro, I'm okay with.
See, I agree with you with buddy. When someone goes, yeah, buddy, I think that's very condescending. When someone goes, yeah, bro, I think also very condescending. Pal, it depends how they say that. Like, if they go, hey, what's up, you're my pal? Fine. If they go, yeah, pal, then it's they don't respect you.
It's all in the way you say it.
And let me ask you another thing.
Yeah.
So people just usually call you Connor, right?
Yeah.
You didn't grow up, I don't think people called you Green, right?
Some people did call me Green.
Really?
That was more of a high school thing. Kids in grade school, it was just Connor, or people would call me CG.
CG. Okay, I like CG.
Yeah.
Yo, what's up, CG? I like that CG. Did people ever make fun of your last name in some way, Green?
So, you know, people
Green
would always
beans
be like,
or something?
No, they'd be like, oh, Connor Purple,
oh,
Connor
that's so
Orange. I've heard that a million times.
So if someone calls you Connor Green, full name, do you think that's a little condescending and they're trying to talk down to you?
No, I don't think so.
I had a friend who, when they called him by his first and last name, they thought it was very condescending because he felt as if when people would say it, example, if you were that kid, they'd be like, Connor Green! That could be obnoxious instead of, yo, Connor Green.
Yeah, or maybe so, like your mom would be like, Connor Patrick Green, you get over here right now.
Connor Patrick Green, you eat your green beans right now! You do that right now! All right, anyway, I don't even know how we got there.
All right.
Oh, because I palled you.
Yeah.
All right, my pal, go ahead. What do you got?
Number one, so Joe Burrow last night threw 61 passes, set a rookie record with 37 completions, did not throw an interception, had 3 touchdowns, completed passes to 8 different receivers, and was 5 for 5 on fourth down. Onside or offside? With Burrow's performance, last night showed everyone that Baker Mayfield is actually the 4th best quarterback in the AFC North.
Baker, Lamar? Next question, Lamar. Baker or Ben? Next question, Ben. Baker or Joe Burrow? As Tony Romo would say, hold on, wait a second, Jim. So that's a conversation. When I look at Joe Burrow, I immediately think franchise quarterback. Now, I'm someone that liked Baker Mayfield coming out of college. Now I look at Baker Mayfield as an unknown. So it could be a little premature because we got to see more out of Burrow. But if you ask me right now who I would rather have, I would rather have Joe Burrow than Baker Mayfield. If you put Joe Burrow this year on the Cleveland Browns, I think Joe Burrow would have a better season than Baker Mayfield. And this is coming from someone that believes in Baker and believes in the Browns. But it is telling last night that how the Browns had success wasn't really through Baker dominating. It was through Baker managing the game and having the run game going at it first. Where on the other hand, even though they lost the Bengals, they don't have an offensive line, Mixon couldn't really run the football. They got to throw him the football more. There wasn't a lot there for Joe Burrow, and he threw the ball 61 times and didn't have an interception. Where Baker, what, he threw the football last night, maybe 30 times, I would say. I would say he probably threw the football 30 times in the game. Maybe not even that much.
23 times.
23. It was that it. That was that little. I was going to think probably he threw 30 times. So he was 16 of 23 and still threw a pick. Yeah. Baker Mayfield is the fourth best quarterback. So it means he's the worst quarterback in the NFC North. On sides.
All right. Number two. Let's stay with Cleveland. Everyone loves teams these days that air the ball out, but last night, the Browns ran 35 times for 215 yards and 3 touchdowns. Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt combined for over 7 yards a carry, while Baker Mayfield, as you just said, only threw the ball 23 times. So onside or offside, if the Browns want to continue to win, they have to take the ball out of Baker Mayfield's hands and run the ball with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt.
This question's so easy. I almost want to go Chad Ochocinco, child, please. I heard he was on with Tiki and Tierney. And I actually thought of Chad last night. Because did you see it in the Browns-Bengals game? You saw an 85. T. Higgins, who could be a very good wide receiver, had success at Clemson. T. Higgins was wearing 85, and that did not look right. And that made me feel like a very, very, very old man. So you ask me onsides or offside. If the Browns want to continue to win, running the ball is the recipe for success. Absolutely, because it's the strength of their team. The strength of their team are those two running backs in Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. And even if Chubb gets gassed a little bit, then you implement Kareem Hunt. And at the end of the game, he was just going right at the Bengals defense. He was. You could not stop him. So even though we look at Cleveland and we go, oh, Baker, oh, Dell, oh, Jarvis Landry. No. You start with Cleveland with their running backs. That's the recipe for success onside.
All right, number three, Giannis Antetokounmpo won his second straight MVP today. Shortly afterward, he spoke with NBA TV and said, quote, as long as everyone's fighting for the same thing, which is to be a champion, I don't see why I won't be in Milwaukee for the next 15 years. Onside or offside, Giannis will be making a massive career mistake if he decides to stay with a historically lousy franchise in Milwaukee.
So you could attack this two ways. Because, yes, if he leaves, it could be easier for him to get a championship if he formed a super team. But then you go from being a generally well-liked person to, like, then a Kevin Durant when he went to the Warriors or LeBron when he went to Miami, where you were such a beloved player, and then you turn heel and people don't like you. But you get a championship. However, ask Kevin Durant, do we really view as Kevin Durant, even though he won 2 finals MVPs, as that's why he's great because of what he did with the Warriors? No, it's because of what he did in OKC. And for LeBron, yes, he won 2 championships with Miami. The most impressive championship, though, is Cleveland. If he wins this year with the Lakers, that championship would be more impressive with the Lakers than what he did with Miami. So just because you win the championship doesn't mean that people all of a sudden are going to view you and the level of greatness that you should be, because we all know LeBron's an all-time great, and Kevin Durant is a great player too. So that's one way to look at it. And then the other way to look at it is, well, what happens if you stay? Is there still a window to win a championship or at least get to the finals? And there's still a window. Because if you go through the East, the Nets, for example, Brooklyn, I don't know how long Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving are going to stay there. Miami, I'm encouraged. I think that's going to be a big destination where they'll attract someone else. Boston, good young core. And you look at a team like Toronto, yes, they impressed everyone this year, but is that going to be sustainable? So I don't think it's a massive mistake if Giannis Antetokounmpo stays with the Milwaukee Bucks. Would he maybe be better utilized? And would they get more out of him? Even just coming off a guy that just won back-to-back MVPs and Defensive Player of the Year. If he went to, I don't know, let's say Dallas. Yeah, I'd rather be in Dallas than Milwaukee with the team that they have. If he goes to Portland, would you think that's a better roster than the Bucks? Yeah, sure, absolutely. And those are just throwing 2 teams out there. If Giannis goes to Miami, would you rather be on Miami or the Bucks with the roster they should have? I'd rather be on Miami. So there could be better options, but is it a massive mistake if you stay? No, I don't think it's a massive mistake, because then people will go, oh, that's cool. That guy honored his commitment, and I would like to see them win a championship. Does it mean you're going to win a championship? No. Does it mean you won't? not doesn't mean you won't either. So when you ask me that question, if he decides to stay with a historically lousy franchise in Milwaukee, Giannis will be making a massive career mistake. I'm going to say no, offsides.
Offside.
All right, number four. After having the unenviable task of playing Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs in week one.
I think it's the first time we use that word in the show. Unenviable.
Unenviable. I had to open up the dictionary
and
for that
one. And it's not a huge word, but how many syllables? Unenviable. Oh, five?
Look at that.
Unenviable. Yeah, five. Wow.
Look at that.
When you were in school, did you used to clap the syllables, or would you do it with your hand on the jaw?
I would like tap my hand on the desk.
Oh, really? Oh, that's obnoxious. Unenviable. You have little Connor Green. How many syllables in the words unenviable? Connor's sitting there with like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Unenviable. Five. Five. High five. Chocolate cinco. All right, go ahead.
All right, so after facing Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs in week one, the Texans now face the equally daunting challenge of Lamar Jackson and the Ravens on Sunday. And after that, things don't get any easier. After the Ravens, Houston's next two games come on the road against the Steelers, and then they get a matchup with the Vikings in week four. Onside or offside, the Texans will start 0-4 this season.
So I told you to start the season, they had a very tough stretch. They lost to Kansas City. They're going to lose to the Ravens this weekend. I would think they're able to split with the Steelers or the Vikings. I won't say they'll win both, but I think at a bare minimum they'll split. Therefore, offsides, I don't think the Texans will start out 0-4.
Offside!
And let me remind you, I have them over 7.5 wins, so they better not start out 0-4 because I will not be happy. I would not be a happy camper there, everybody.
Number five. Your main man, Tom Brady, is taking heat from Bruce Arians, while Cam Newton and Bill Belichick...
Hold on. This is how this question should be worded.
Yeah.
Your main man, Tom Brady, is taking heat from Bruce Arians, while your other main man, Cam Newton, and your other main man, Bill Belichick, have a bromance brewing in New England. Continue.
So your two main men having conflicting situations, Brady taking heat...
You know what I'm like? I'm like a child that loves both his mom and his dad. Mom doesn't like dad. Dad doesn't like mom. They're going to a divorce. They're going to get a divorce. And I'm sitting there saying, why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? So whenever there's a Brady Belichick question, this is when parents get divorced. Though my parents never got divorced, what I'm sure many people felt like.
Newton and Brady have joint custody of you?
It's really Brady and Belichick. You know, we could throw Cam in there, too. Cam's like, I don't know. Cam's like a sibling. Let's put it that way.
He's like if your mom got a new boyfriend.
Yeah. He would. Yeah, fair. Yeah, that's what it is. And you like the guy, but you don't want to upset your dad. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Perfect analogy.
So, they have a bromance brewing in New England. Brady, of course, struggled in week one while Cam played well in a Patriots win. Onside or offside, if Brady struggles all year and misses the playoffs, but Cam Newton plays well and the Pats make the playoffs, it will forever hurt Tom's legacy because people will always say Tom was great, but Belichick was really the true genius behind it all.
Let me be absolutely clear here, and I can't make this clear enough. If people still use this as an argument to try to discredit Tom Brady, you are a moron. I'm saying that as politely as I can without cursing and losing my job. Brady needed Belichick to be great. Belichick needed Brady to be great. They both needed each other. Now, could they still be great on their own? Yes. But they wouldn't be all-time great on their own. So, when I get into this question, it drives me bonkers. Many have already declared Tom Brady the GOAT. So if Brady doesn't make the playoffs this year, which I think he will, then we take a hit on his legacy? Because even if Brady doesn't make the playoffs this year, did he still come back from down 28-3 in a Super Bowl? Was Bill great in getting the team prepared for that? No. Did Tom play great in the first three quarters? No. Brady was the one that led the comeback. If, let's just say, Brady doesn't make the playoffs this year, does it take away him coming back from down 10 to what some were saying was an all-time great defense in the LOB in the Super Bowl? If Tom Brady doesn't make the playoffs this year, Does it excuse Bill Belichick for not playing Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl where Brady threw for 505 and they didn't win? And I know it sounds like I'm bashing Bill Belichick. I'm not. I would never bash Bill Belichick. That would be idiotic of me to bash Bill Belichick. The point is, for them to both be all-time greats, they needed each other. I do believe they could both be great on their own, but it would not be to the level of greatness that we've seen. There's been some games where Belichick has been better than Brady, and there's been some games where Brady has been better than Belichick. Super Bowl 53, Belichick was better than Brady. Brady still stepped up and made a big play. Still threw that ball to Gronkowski early on. I think Belichick was massive in it, but who knew Bill Belichick was going to be one of the greatest coaches of all time early on in those Super Bowls, and Brady still went on game-winning drives in the first two Super Bowls. So they both needed each other to get to the greatness that they want to be at, and that's number one in coaching and number one in quarterback play. So if anyone says that Belichick is 100% responsible for Brady's greatness, I just don't believe that. Now, people will say that, but you won't be hearing it from me. So when you ask me the full question, if Brady struggles all year and misses the playoffs, but Cam Newton plays well and the Pats make the playoffs, it will forever hurt Tom's legacy because people will always say Tom was great, but Belichick was true genius behind it all. Yes, people will say that, but you're an absolute idiot. So if you actually think that, go back to trolling people on Twitter, offsides.
Offside.
Think about that, Connor. And you knew you asked me that question because it would get a rise out of me. I know your method to your madness. We're going to now take away the GOAT tag if Brady, let's say, goes 9-7 this year and just misses out on the playoffs. Hey, it diminishes the other six Super Bowls. Yeah, really does.
I agree with you, but you know.
Yeah, because people are idiots.
And we live in the hot take business.
We live in the moment. It's so dumb. Think about it. Kawhi Leonard was better than LeBron last year. Now Kawhi Leonard, it's ridiculous we even had the conversation. It probably was ridiculous that we even had the conversation. That's what we do, though. We've tried to knock LeBron off that perch, that throne, for so many years. KD wins a championship. Let's just disregard the team that he was on, and now he's better than LeBron. It wasn't like LeBron played like crap in those finals. He was great. His team just stunk compared to the Warriors. We do this all the time, where after one game, one performance, we just ignore 15, 20 years of sustained excellence, sustained greatness. That's the world we live in, though. That's the world we live in. And then people will say, well, that's basically what your job is, to comment on everything in the moment. Yes, but you actually have to talk some sense, too. And it drives me bonkers when people just lose all logic and they have zero thought process and just say something because you're like egg face 4678923 to the 17th power on Twitter. We'll take a timeout. Here's a man with a lot of logic and also gives you the best sports updates on CBS Sports Radio. That, of course, is Bob Uecker.
The Zach Gelb Show is on the air across the nation on CBS Sports Radio. Here's Zach Gelb.
You know what song this is, Connor Green? Do you have the name of the song in the system? Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. What do you got?
This is Mad Caddies Without You.
Never heard of it. Kind of like it, though. When I hear this, you know how I envision myself? I envision myself somewhere very tropical in like a Hawaiian type of shirt, Floridian type of shirt, with a big margarita in hand, and then the other hand like a tambourine in some sandals and just dancing. That's how I envision myself. And then go sit down and have like a big stone crab dinner.
So today you've imagined fist bumping in the club and also at a luau.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, this is like a luau. You know, give me some of those chicken kebabs and steak kebabs. Little belly flop contest. I'll never forget, I was on a cruise. This is one of the best trips I ever did take. Me and three other of like my best friends, we went on a cruise. We won $1,000 playing scratch-off bingo. And when you go on a cruise, it's only a 3-4 day cruise. You leave the boat a few times, or the ship, as they like to say, not boat. I still have to call it a ship. So you leave the ship a few times. And then there's other times where you want to just see, like, who else is on the cruise. So you go to the pool, and there's always that cheesy cruise MC guy. All right, everybody, how we doing? We're on the cruise. Let's get ready to go. And right now, we're going to do the belly flop contest. And they always pick about one or two or like three guys that are really in shape and they're flexing, and then they just pick a dude that is big, really big. So my friends were like, oh, you should do the belly flop contest. I go, I am not doing a belly flop contest. I'm on vacation. I want to sit in this chair and not move. So we met this guy who was actually at the bar, and he was the dude. We called him Michigan Man because he's wearing a Michigan bucket hat. He must have been 65 years old, 70 years old. And he goes to us, you guys should go play bingo. We couldn't get off the ship that day because the tide was too big. It was too bumpy, so they weren't letting us off the boat. They didn't think it was safe to leave the ship. So this guy, Michigan Man, after we play bingo, and we're getting bombed all throughout the day, we come on back and we go see the cheesy MC segment where the whole cruise ship stops and everyone's watching it. You've been on a cruise before, right, Connor? So you've seen this. So the next thing we know, Michigan Man is up there. So they have the first guy who's Jack, go belly flop, little splash. Second guy, you know, same thing. Third guy over and over again. Then there's Michigan Man. And this dude is pumping up the crowd. You know, the 65, 70-year-old dude that's trying to be best friends with everyone, talking to everyone. And he goes and does the belly flop, and it was a flop. It was horrible. So many people that liked this guy because he was such a personality that he ended up winning the contest. So he basically got the participation trophy as the championship trophy. It's like when you have a slam dunk contest where one guy, like this year, one guy should be obvious who wins, and the guy doesn't win it because of how the voting was a little bit rigged. So that was the experience. When you played that song, I thought of Michigan Man with the bucket hat on, the Floridian shirt, always having a margarita in hand and doing the 50-year-old dad, old man dance with the tambourine. So that's what you played. I'm curious what you're going to get the next three rejoins when we come back from segments. Because you're right. So far, when you played the music earlier, I felt as if I was in a club at 1:30 in the morning. And now you put me from in a club in New Jersey at 1:30 into the morning at like some resort in Florida, just drinking a margarita and having a little tambourine in the hand. All right, let me get to a story here. And this actually involves a colleague of mine and someone that I respect greatly. And talking about fist pumping, this colleague's neighbor is actually Snooki. That is our very own Tiki Barber. Fantastic running back, fantastic dude. And Tiki, obviously hosts Tiki and Tierney right here on CBS Sports Radio. You can always listen to them. 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern, noon to 3 Pacific on many of the same CBS Sports Radio affiliates, SiriusXM Channel 206, and the radio.com application. So Tiki, whenever he says something about the Giants, because of what he said about Eli Manning years and years ago, people right away think Tiki is bitter and Tiki hates the Giants, where Tiki still roots for the Giants. And I see that a lot with a lot of former athletes. We have Donovan McNabb on this show all the time, and I'm not stupid. A lot of times we go to Donovan when there's things that are controversial with the Eagles. Why? Because I know there's a certain percentage of people in the Eagles fan base that will always hate Donovan McNabb because they think he's jealous of Carson Wentz, Doug Peterson, and what the Eagles are doing. So if you may remember, Donovan was on this show and he said, if the Eagles don't see more health out of Carson Wentz, or he doesn't get to the NFC Championship game in the next 2 years, don't be surprised if they draft another quarterback. Now, they drafted Jalen Hurts. I don't think they drafted Jalen Hurts to replace one Carson Wentz. I think they used it as insurance. And another one that I'll use just in my experience, we had Bob Wiley on, who was fired by the Browns. And Bob Wiley said Freddie Kitchens shouldn't have been hired, and basically told you he got hired because he was buddy-buddy with Baker Mayfield at the time. And everyone, oh, they called Bob Wiley, who is such a nice man, they called him a salty walrus. That's what people were calling him on Twitter. They were just eviscerating him and hammering him on Twitter. Even when Bob sees me at the Super Bowl this year, he goes, so much for all those people that were saying negative things about me. Now, I said, yeah, we should make a shirt that says Bob Wiley is right. If I'm being honest with you, Bob, hashtag Bob Wiley is right, or Bob Wiley was right, is what we should do. And everyone's saying, oh, Bob is salty, salty, salty. And you see that with McNabb, too. So now Tiki Barber's talking about Saquon, and I think many people could share an opinion like what Tiki Barber said. I don't think it's crazy, but if I say it, because I'm not a former Giant, it's not the end of the world. Tiki Barber says it right away. Giant fans, oh, Tiki Barber is salty. So here's what Tiki said on Tiki and Tierney about Saquon Barkley.
Saquon Barkley, he might not be an every down back. He cannot pass protect.
Whoa.
And it is starting to become glaring. It's probably the only issue he had to deal with coming into the NFL because he wasn't asked to do it at Penn State. And now you see him diving on the ground, not sticking his head in people's chest. It's gonna be a liability because people see it now. It's on tape and it's gonna come out. If you've watched him for the last couple of years, he doesn't want to block. So recognition is one, and then two, you got to go hit a dude. Saquon Barkley's a big man. He doesn't want to hit anybody. It's frustrating to watch.
So to be fair, when I first heard that, just like Brandon Tierney, as you hear the whoa in the background, when you hear just the first thought, Saquon Barkley may not be an every down back. Yeah, I'm taken aback. I'm like, whoa, Saquon's an incredible talent. Then you actually listen to the explanation. It does make sense. Even though he's a great talent, he's got to pass block better. He's got to protect. Because Daniel Jones is a young quarterback. Your franchise is riding on the success of Daniel Jones. Your offensive line has been in shambles for years. Even though they keep on telling you it's improving and they bring in new people, it's in shambles. And if you want to get the best out of Daniel Jones, you got to keep him healthy. And a lot of times, that's going to be on Saquon Barkley, and he's going to have to block a lot. So, yeah, I think Saquon's career does suffer because of the line and the team that he plays on. And just because maybe we're not seeing the best of Saquon doesn't mean that Tiki's criticism isn't fair, because I think it's right. You watch Saquon Barkley, does anyone think he's great in blocking? No, I wouldn't think anyone thinks he's great in blocking with what we've seen so far on tape. And I do believe that Tiki wants to see Saquon play well, and he wants him to be great, and he wants the Giants to win again. But if you ask a lot of Giant fans, oh, no, Tiki Barber's salty. Ah, he's salty. Doesn't discredit his opinion. His opinion, I think, is right. Here's Saquon, though, responding to what Tiki had to say.
Obviously, Tiki's a legend. Did a lot of great things for this franchise. So, you know, I'm not going to look at it as disrespect. I'm going to look at it as a challenge. But same thing with him. Like everyone else, really don't care about outside opinions. I'm really only focused about the opinions in this building.
Whenever you say you don't care about outside opinion, you do care. I follow the Patriots. They go, oh, we don't care about outside opinion. We ignore the noise. No, they embrace it. They just don't embrace it publicly. And that's what Saquon's doing right there. He's not trying to add extra legs and extra life to this story. Has to motivate Saquon. Has to annoy Saquon. And Saquon knows, even though I think he's a really good back, he needs better linemen in front of him. But when we look at things that we're trying to criticize him on, definitely blocking is one of them. Guy's a really good player, but he has to work at the blocking because Jones takes so many hits as it is. You need that running back who's the last line of defense to help out Daniel Jones. So Tiki Barber, I think it's fair. And if you're a former player, not that all your opinions are going to be right, doesn't always mean that you're just salty just because you used to play for that team.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.